This is The State of Things. I'm Anita Rao. We're celebrating the centennial of the 19th Amendment, which gave American women the right to vote. We've been talking to historians about how that movement unfolded and why that right didn't extend to all women. The shortcomings in the suffrage movement have also inspired faculty artists at UNC Chapel Hill. Through the Process series, they put together the 19th Amendment Project. It explores the relationship between women, race, and political power over time. Choreographer Heather Tatro is the Process series producer. She's also a teaching assistant professor in the Department of Exercise and Sports Science at UNC. Welcome to the show, Heather.
Thanks for having me.
Also joining us is LaToya Lane. She's an assistant professor of voice at UNC and has a piece in the 19th Amendment Project. Welcome, LaToya.
Thank you.
So I'd love to start with you, Heather, and give us a sense of what we're talking about when we say an artistic interpretation of the 19th Amendment. What does that mean?
So we have faculty members from music, drama, dance, and the visual arts. And based on their research that they do and their classroom involvement and just their artistic mediums, we came together to do some collaborative projects about sort of exposing the complications around the 19th Amendment.
And what are some of those complications that are interpreted through these artistic works?
Yeah, so a lot is has to do with how race was a factor in the 19th Amendment, the passage of that. It is not a celebration for everyone because everyone was not afforded the right to vote 100 years ago. And in North Carolina in particular, we didn't get the right to vote for a while either.
Yeah, we've talked a lot about that today so far and how long it took North Carolina and how it really wasn't until the 1940s for Native women and the 1960s for Black women to really be able to access the right to vote in this state. So, LaToya, tell me a bit about your particular project and what you were trying to look at.
I knew I wanted to focus on the experiences of Black women as it pertains to the right to vote. And Sojourner Truth is one of the most famous women suffragists that we speak of mostly. And so I happened to come upon an opera that was written about her. And I thought it would be really interesting if I were to take some of the excerpts from this opera that was a little biographical and interweave them with spoken narrative to tell her story and as it applies to other Black women and their experiences with the passage of the 19th Amendment or the ratification of it. And so I reached out to the composer and she put together some excerpts and songs from the opera for me and sent them. And so once I got that information, then I was able to kind of write a narrative around it.
Wonderful. Well, will you perform some of that narrative for us now and kind of take us into a bit of the story of Sojourner Truth?
Sure. Children, who made your skin white? Was it not God? Who made mine black? Was it not the same God? Am I to blame, therefore, because my skin is black? Does God not love colored children as well as white children? And did not the same Savior die to save the one as well as the other? My name is Sojourner Truth, and I am an abolitionist and women's rights activist. Before changing my name, I was born Isabella Bounfrey. I was born a slave. In 1843, I believed that I was called by God to travel around the nation to sojourn and preach the truth of his word. Thus, God gave me the name Sojourner Truth. I don't know when I was born because the dates of slave children were not recorded, but I've been told it was about 1797. I was born in Issippus, New York, and my family was owned by a man named Colonel Hardenberg. I spoke Dutch all my life and didn't learn to speak English until I was 11 years old. I was sold to different plantations three times during my youth. In 1827, the state of New York emancipated all slaves, but my last master, John Dumont, refused to set me free. He promised to grant me my freedom a year before the state emancipation, and he reneged on his promise. So I picked up my daughter and escaped. I didn't run. I walked off his plantation.
That was LaToya Lane reading some from her song and spoken word piece, Sojourner Truth. She'll be performing at the Current Art Space in Chapel Hill tonight at 7:30 as part of the 19th Amendment Project from UNC's Process series. I am also here with Heather Tétrault. That is an incredible selection, and her story is just astounding when you read it and you listen to it, everything that she went through and kind of her constant reflection about what it means to be an activist as a woman of color and how she kind of interpreted that throughout her life. What did you learn about her that was new and surprising as you put together this work?
I learned that she was not only heavily involved in women's rights to vote, but she also did a lot of work with prison reform and making sure that all Black children, those formerly enslaved and free, had the opportunity for an education. She was, I mean, what one might consider a person that had her hand in any kind of equal rights activities. And she was a very strong and powerful woman. And she didn't let the answer no affect her ability and her interest in pursuing rights for everyone.
Heather, as you all had your debut performance last night, and I'm wondering how you saw the threads of all of the various pieces come together. I mean, we hear LaToya's story of Sojourner Truth, this woman who kind of didn't let anything stop her and was continually pushing, even though she wasn't recognized by a lot of the prominent white suffragists at the time who didn't really invite her in to their movement. How did her story and those themes kind of thread through some of these other narratives?
It was a really nice thread last night. And what was interesting about these projects, they were all four of them conceived separately. We did come together in workshops a few times throughout the past few months. But there, since we had that common theme, threads definitely fed through. It worked really nicely. I think going from LaToya's piece about Sojourner Truth right into Jacqueline Lawton's piece, it's a play that she's written about Black suffragists in Raleigh in the 1920s. And it was a really nice thread. And she actually starts her play with a quote from Sojourner Truth. And then some of the other pieces, too, what I was noticing last night is the use of repetition. So that's something I used in my dance theater piece a lot and was used a lot in the cinema piece as well. So the idea of kind of coming back 100 years later to revisit some of these inequities that in some cases were kind of buried a bit, but in some cases really still are so present with us. So one thing I tried to do in my piece was look at, you know, the propaganda posters from 100 years ago about around the suffragettes. And then today, using quotes from current news sources about female politicians and seeing those threads. It's kind of heartbreaking to come full circle 100 years later and see some of these things.
What in particular are you seeing playing out in the language today?
So a lot of the languaging that I was using last night was really kind of portraying female politicians as mad women, as, you know, shrill voices and unhinged when they're passionate. And one of the questions, you know, that came up last night, like female politicians, you know, how much are we creating our own way in to politics and how much are we having to kind of play by the established rules? And that's complicated.
Yeah. I mean, and it reminds me, LaToya, of Sojourner Truth's Ain't I a Woman speech, which is so famous and well-known and really her articulation of what it means to feel excluded by the abolitionist movement in some ways as well as by the suffragist movement and kind of positioning herself as someone who says that she deserves both sets of rights, but people aren't really acknowledging that. Tell me about the Ain't I a Woman speech that she gives.
What people didn't often think about was that Black women had to deal with racism and sexism still today. And so her speech at the Women's Convention in Akron, Ohio, she was declaring that even though my skin may be different, God made us all different, I'm still a woman and I still have the same needs. And she talks about bearing 13 children, and she's as strong as any man, and she can plow the fields, and she'd like to be helped over a puddle, and, you know, all of those things that would describe what a woman might need. She declared that she also needed those things. There are some reports that say that she bared her breast during that. I don't know how accurate that is, but it was just a basic declaration that I'm not any different and my needs aren't any different. And if white women would imagine that the right to vote would propel them and give them everything that they needed and the power, that empowerment that they needed, imagine what the right to vote would do for black women and formerly enslaved people, period.
Mm-hmm. You have another selection from your show, Ready to Do For Us. Would you mind sharing that now?
Sure. I want to say a few words about this matter. I am women's rights. I have as much muscle as any man and can do as much work as any man. I have plowed and reaped and husked and chopped and mowed. Can any man do more than that? I have heard much about the sexes being equal. I can carry as much as any man and can eat as much too if I can get it. I am as strong as any man that is now. As for intellect, all I can say is, if a woman have a pint and a man a quart, why can't she have her little pint full? You need not be afraid to give us our rights for fear we'll take too much, for we can't take more than our pint'll hold. The poor men seems to be all in confusion and don't know what to do. Why, children, if you have women's rights, give it to her and you will feel better. You will have your own rights, and they won't be so much trouble. I can't read, but I can hear. I have heard the Bible and have learned that Eve caused man to sin. Well, if woman upset the world, do give her a chance to set it right side up again. The lady has spoken about Jesus, how he never spurned a woman from him, and she was right. When Lazarus died, Mary and Martha came to him with faith and love and besought him to raise their brother. And Jesus wept, and Lazarus came forth. And how came Jesus into the world? Through God who created him and the woman who bore him. Man, where was your part?
LaToya Lane performing a selection from her spoken word and song One Woman Show. She's also here with Heather Tatro, the producer of the 19th Amendment Process Series Project. So there's something so different, Heather, between kind of seeing words written on a page and hearing them spoken out loud and witnessing artistic interpretations of these historical moments. What is the value of retelling this history through an artistic medium?
Well, I think it's interesting. At the end of the process series performances, we always have an audience talk back. And that's really for the artist to get feedback to see how their work is landing on an audience. And that's when we get some really interesting information. And last night in particular, you know, people have some very visceral responses to the images they're seeing mixed with the words they're hearing and the way that's being delivered in the song. So art has an opportunity to kind of go through that back door and to have people experience something that you can hear and learn about, but then it gives you more of a personal experience with it when you see it in an artistic presentation.
And there's a chance for artists to kind of continue to re-envision and reinterpret their work as it goes through this process series. So, LaToya, what are you kind of looking out for in terms of feedback, or what do you feel like is the continuing journey for your piece?
One of the exciting things about the process series is that we're all performing artists. And not only that, we're teaching artists. So anytime we have an opportunity to educate as well as display our art, It heightens it to a different level. So with this project, I wanted the opportunity to educate not only about Sojourner Truth and Black women's experiences, but to also heighten the art form of classical music and classical singing. And so from this, I submitted my proposal to the College Music Society's convention in Asheville, and it was accepted. And they usually take about 10 presentations out of hundreds that apply. And so I have the opportunity to present this to a convention of my colleagues, and this is where faculty from all over the country get together, and music faculty, and share their creative activity and research through posters or recitals or presentations with each other and with our colleagues. And oftentimes we get feedback at the end, and people always talk about, I never thought about it that way. Where did this piece come from? It's a great opportunity to introduce new composers to audiences, especially this composer, Paula Kemper, who's not as well known. And this opera has only been done one time in New York City. But here's a chance that so many people will be introduced to her. And maybe it will be also an opportunity for her to receive some commissions to write more works about historical figures. So hopefully I can help in that manner and continue to have the story of so many powerful women told through opera.
Wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for sharing part of this work with us today. Heather Tatro is the producer of the Process series and a teaching assistant professor in the Department of Exercise and Sports Science at UNC. Latoya Lane is an assistant professor of voice at UNC and stars in the piece Sojourner Truth. You can see both of their performances in the 19th Amendment Project tonight at the Current Art Space in Chapel Hill at 7:30. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thanks for having us.
You can find more about everything we talked about today at our website, stateofthings.org. While you're there, you can also sign up for a newsletter to get a daily preview of our lineup. The State of Things is produced by Amanda Magnus, Grant Hall of Mormon, Katie Barron, and Josie Charis. Jenny Lawson is a technical director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Anita Rao. We only ask to be part of this union. Comme dirait le français, c'est démocratie. Permettez-moi participer, I'm a citizen of this nation. Suffrage.